May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us, that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, O God. May the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples justly and guide the nations on earth. May the peoples praise you, O God. May the peoples praise you. Then the land will yield its harvest, and God, our God, will bless us. God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth will fear him.
The reading from Numbers, starting at verse 22. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you for the reading. We are in that season of looking at a series of looking at great prayers of the Bible. And this morning we heard read to us the great priestly blessing from Numbers, otherwise known as the Aaronic Prayer. The prayers God gave to the Levites, the priestly tribe, to bless the people of Israel. It's now become very much steeped in church history as the priestly blessing. Just to give a little bit of context, in the Numbers, the book of Numbers, it covers the book of Numbers, about 38 years of history in the Israelites' history. They've left Egypt, they've gone into the wilderness, and they're now in a place of transition and movement. Numbers covers the movement from Sinai to a place where they planning to go into the promised land. They get nervous, decide not to, and therefore God punishes them, and they go off for a generation to wander the land. And then the nation of Israelites continue to move south of the promised land, and at the end of Numbers they are to the east of the Jordan, waiting and anticipating to move into the promised land. Numbers is a time where that God is shaping the nation of Israel into the nation that he wants. He's setting down things like the feasts, how priests should act, how the nation should behave and who they are. He's shaping them into his people. And the priestly blessing that we heard this morning is part of that. He sets that blessing into the nation. But the book is also theologically a very sobering book. There is consistent representations and stories of the consequences of rebellion against God's plans and his direction. I've mentioned already that the nation decides not to go into the promised land as God decides, and so there is a consequence. There is a generation that is lost as the nation has to wander around the wilderness. There's Moses, who loses his temper, and we would generally say, probably understandably, loses his temper with the nation of Israel. But as a result, because he was out of line of God's love, the consequences to Moses was that he never went into the promised land in his own lifetime. There's the story of Dathan and Korah, who rebel against Moses, and they are killed, and their family are killed by the Lord. And also Aaron and Miriam also rebel against Moses, or challenge Moses, and they suffer from leprosy. So there are a lot of sobering tales. It's a very stark book in many ways. And actually the Hebrew name for Numbers is "in the wilderness." It's translated "in the wilderness," which I found very striking when I discovered. But the book For All Those Things also very much echoes the nature and the character of God. Because whatever the state of humanity, however wrong Israel get it, there is one thing that will happen, and that's that God's will prevail. He will ensure that his will prevails. Even though Israel didn't go into the promised land first time, they will end up in the promised land. His will prevail. And that is, again, the core part of the book of Numbers, God's character and his trustworthy sovereignty that we can stand in. But the blessing that was read to us this morning is, I sort of began to think and realise that it was a golden core to the book of Numbers. Not only is it a blessing over us that we're going to unpick in just a moment, but out of that blessing, it also displays the very nature and the core of God's character. And we can stand on that this morning. So before we get into the nugget of the blessing itself, let me ask you, what is a blessing? What is a blessing? Have you ever actually thought? Well, in essence, it's a declaration of God's favour and protection. It's something that is designed to benefit the recipient. When someone is referred to as being blessed, they're seen as if they have God's favour upon them. I love this description that I saw. A blessing is the infusion of something with holiness, spiritual redemption, or divine will. I love that. Something that is infused with holiness, spiritual redemption, or divine will. Something that's infused is it permeates every part of something. The example I kept thinking of was foodstuffs. And take something like tea. Tea is tea. But nowadays we infuse tea with all sorts of flavours. It could be a lemon tea, and so it's tea is tea, but that it's infused with lemon, and it changes its whole taste, even though in essence it's still tea. And I think that's something of blessings. It's words that that are infused with the holiness and divine power. Thus, to express a blessing is like bestowing a wish on someone that they experience the favour of God, and to acknowledge God as the source of all blessing. God is the source of all blessing. I was trying to think, what is the difference between just normal words of encouragement and a blessing? Is there a difference? And I think there probably is a difference, because I think we all know that all our words have the power of life and death. We can, words have power, and we need to be very careful with our words. But I think a blessing are words that are said with much more intent and purpose. I can say to people, bless you, or say some words of encouragement, but I rather sort of glibly pass them out. But I think when we bless, there's something that comes from within. It's not from here, it's from here. And we have an intent to desire to bring flourishing and blessing. And of course, what is the opposite to blessing? It's of course cursing. And we see that in very much in the early books of Scripture. There are the blessings and there are the cursings. Blessings are very weighty things, and I'm sure most of you will know that as a deacon, I'm not yet priested as your curate, and therefore I am not allowed to give the blessing on behalf of the church. I can't give the church's blessing to you, and therefore blessings must be held with understanding its weightedness of blessings, which of course the church do. Now, in contrast, I would argue that we live in the New Covenant and we are all members of the royal priesthood, and I firmly believe that we can all bless each other in the same power and with the divine power. But my point about the curacy issue is that the Church of England recognises there is something weighty in that. So that is a blessing. So let's look at this blessing itself. There are three aspects to it, or three stanzas in this early part of the blessing. There is the emphasis on each stanza that the Lord is doing something. The blessing is coming from the Lord. There are three of them that are combined with two aspects of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face and give you peace. There are these three stanzas, and then it then culminates in a consequence of the so. What's the consequence? What's the consequence of those three stanzas? Well, I really love the breakdown when you look at those three stanzas of protection. The first one speaks of protection. The second one speaks of pardon. And the third speaks of peace. And let's have a look at those in a little bit more detail. The first one is the declaration of protection, that the Lord will bless you and keep you. The Amplified Bible has it this way: the Lord bless you and watch, guard and keep you. There is protection and safety in this blessing for us. In a world that has fallen, believers and non-believers are consistently facing physical and emotional challenges. What comfort or assurance can we have? I'm convinced that when we get to heaven, we will discover how often the Lord has protected us and kept us safe in ways that we could never, ever have known. But we equally recognise that all of us suffer challenges of one kind or another. And I'm sure there are many of us at times that sit there and think, really? Am I really being protected? And so what protection can we sense or see or hear in this blessing? Well, I think that protection so much is about our inner beings, in our hearts. I think the Lord protects our hearts time and time again from becoming bitter and angry and self-destructive. To give you an example, I was involved in sort of management leadership chaos in one place that I worked. It was a very painful time. There was lots of division amongst the leadership, and it was very, very painful. And it would have been so easy to become bitter or to behave or respond in perhaps not the most ideal way. But I think the protection that the Lord gives us was able to keep our eyes fixed, or my eyes fixed on him, to be able to keep a soft heart because my eyes were kept on the character of God and his goodness, and to remain trusting in him. And therefore I was protecting myself, or the Lord was protecting me and my heart, and therefore I was able to journey that difficult time and to see it through. So there is protection in this blessing. And I would encourage for you this morning, receive that protection and know God's protection. His wings of protection and refuge are over you this morning. So that's the first declaration in this blessing. The second declaration is pardon. It says, shine on you, the Lord, may he shine on you and be gracious to you. The Amplified Bible has it, his face to shine upon you and enlighten you, and be gracious, kind, merciful and giving favour to you. This is not the language of a disapproving or angry or judging God. There is warmth, there is joy, there is sunshine, there is brightness as God faces you and shines his face upon you. This language is not of separation, this language is of togetherness, of relationship and of pleasure. I was found myself, as I dwelt on this, thinking of the prodigal son and the father. the father who stood there looking out, looking expectantly, waiting for his son to return. And of course, the son returns and they rush into each other's arms. This is a blessing where God is saying, grace on you, you're forgiven. Come, you're welcome. We are together. Through this blessing this morning, receive God's pardon, just as we did the confession a moment ago. Know that God has forgiven you. He does continue to forgive you, and he will forgive you again. And he opens his arms to welcome you. You are pardoned. And then finally, the third stanza, which is one of a declaration of peace. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. The Amplified Version says, the Lord lift up his approving countenance upon you and give you peace, tranquility of heart and life continually, the interpretation says. This peace is so much more than an absence of conflict. It's so much more than we're just not upset with each other or in disunity. It's the word shalom, which of course many of you will know is a rich, deep, deep word. And it means completeness. It means the sort of fullness and flourishing of life. It's the fullness of well-being. It's a really deep word. It's the wholeness of peace in every aspect of your life. It's not just the fact that you and I are in peace, or you and I are in peace with God. It's about the fullness of peace in our emotional, spiritual, and mental and physical being. It's the peace that the Creator and the creation and the created have when they're in together, reconciled in perfect relationship. Paul in 2 Corinthians 5 talks about God reconciled the world to himself in Christ, not counting man's sin against them. And of course, Christ is the very centre of that peace. It's from the outflow of all that Christ is and has done for us, which is the source of peace, that Prince of Peace. And of course, the peace is not just one way. It's not just one way from God. We are contractors of that peace. We are instruments within the world, and we combine in that peace. And I think one of our questions is, are we peacemakers? Are we peacemakers in our communities, in our workplaces, and in our town? Paul also says in Ephesians, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. We are part of that peace that we release into the world. And so again, this morning, I want to declare that shalom over you. I want you to receive that peace of God this morning. So those are those three stanzas of the blessing. There's the protection of God. There's the pardon that comes from God. And then there is that peace that comes from God. And then there's the outcome. There's that final verse. It says, so they will put your name on the nation of Israel. What is it that is? It's that the world would know that Israel are blessed by God. They would know that they are a nation blessed and protected and honoured by God, that they are God's people. And that's the same for us today. Does the world look at you and I or the church and say, they are a blessed people because they are known by God, they're God's people? That's the fruit and the outworking of this blessing. The world should be looking at you and I and saying, wow, I want some of that. Whatever they've got, they're living in a place of goodness, they're living in a place of flourishing, they're living in a place of hope and life that I am not experiencing and I want to experience and be a part of. That is what this blessing was moving towards, so that the world would look at the nation of Israel and say, wow, they are blessed people. I want some of that. But as I begin to come into land, I want to point out something right at the beginning, because who is it that does the blessing? Who is it that does the blessing? Well, let me read right at the beginning. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. You to bless. It's you and I that do the blessing. It was the Levites that were called to do the blessing. The source of the blessing is the Lord. It is the blessing comes from heaven. But God has set up the world in this divine human partnership where he works through us and with us. He's the source of the blessing. He's the source of all life. But it's you and I that release that into the world. And it's just the same here. It's the priests that release the blessing. And in the New Covenant, I suggest that it's you and I that release the power of blessing into the world. And we see this through Scripture in all sorts of ways. I've always loved the moment just after the Israelites have escaped Egypt. They are find themselves on the shores of the Red Sea. They feel trapped. You've got the chariot of the Pharaoh and his Egyptian army chasing after them. And the Israelites are sitting there saying, "We're trapped. We should have stayed in. What are we going to do?" And Moses prays to the Lord and said, "Lord, help us. Do something." And the Lord almost responds to Moses, "Why are you looking at me? You've got the staff. Lift your staff and you do it." And Moses lifts up his staff, and of course the waters part. It's God has delegated his power and his authority to you and I to go about and do his business. Jesus does it in the New, we see it in the New Testament as well. Jesus says, "You go and heal the sick and raise the dead." It's his power, but it's through us. And it's the same here in this blessing. It's us that bless, but the Lord is the source. And I think it's to remind ourselves, once again, the power that we have and the anointing and delegation and the authority that God has honoured us with to go into the world and bless the world. And I think just to remind us again about the object of next week is just to engage with the fact that as well as preparing our own hearts, there's an opportunity to intentionally focus our blessing and release blessing into the world. So, bringing all this together, what's our response? I think the thing I want to say to you first is that blessing is for you today. I want you to receive once again. You know that the Lord's blessing over you is a one of protection and as of pardon and as one of peace, the full flourishing of life. And that's for you today. And the other one is to be reminded of the power of our own words to be able to go and bless the world around us. And in this coming week, this afternoon, in the coming weeks, is this blessing gives us a sort of a shape and direction about how we can bless the world. We can declare protection over people. We can declare pardon over people. And we can declare that peace over people, that flourishing, that hope over people. And if I don't know if anybody's been involved in the House of Blessing prayer training. Yesterday was any there with the Roy Goodwins coming out of Ferdinand Brennan. It was just a second part of the conference that happened a few weeks ago. But part of that was the answering the question, well, how do we bless our community? Well, I would suggest that this is in part of that. It's speaking words of protection and pardon and life over our community. So as we go away from here later this morning, may you know that blessing upon yourselves and your life this morning as well. In Jesus' name, amen. And I think just before we move on and to pray, why don't we just allow the Spirit to minister amongst us. Each of you will know where you are and we'll all be in different places. But is there a part of that blessing that you really need to draw upon this morning? Is there a sense of that you really need God's covering and protection because you're in a difficult place? Or you're feeling attacked in some way? Do you feel the need for his pardon in a new way? Or do you need his peace? Just allow the Spirit to minister for a moment amongst us.